Oh, I'm out of breath. That's okay. Before I begin today, I need to say a very serious, serious thing. Before I begin today, I want to openly acknowledge the pain and the grief of those unable to conceive, as well as those who have endured miscarriages. I understand that this time of year, and possibly this sermon, can be very difficult. And my heart aches for you. Please pray with me. God of all creation, I pray that the words of this sermon are words that honor and glorify your name. I pray that this sermon will give light to your holy word and expand the hearts and minds of all, including myself. Amen. Verse 39 of our gospel today comes directly after Mary learns that she, a virgin, is going to conceive the baby Jesus. We do not know what Mary was thinking when she left to go see Elizabeth. We can only speculate how she was feeling and what she might have been thinking. I myself wonder if Mary was scared, if Mary was afraid, if Mary was opposite that, happy and joyful. I identify as female. I use she and her pronouns. I have given birth to children of my own. Pregnancy is scary and beautiful all at the same time. From the moment of conception, the spark of life begins. And I've always pictured Mary in a cave alone when she gets this news of conception. The angel Gabriel standing beside her or even across from her proclaiming this profound news. Scripture doesn't ever say, and we are left to wonder, where exactly was Mary? And who was she surrounded by? And why does verse 35 end with Mary receiving and accepting the news? And then immediately heading out to see Elizabeth in verse 36, where our gospel for today picks up. Where were Mary's own parents? Where was Joseph? We know from historical data and socioeconomic studies that during this time there are two parts to marriage. The first part is the legal agreement. And we know from earlier in the Gospel of Luke that Mary has already been engaged to Joseph. The second part is living under the same roof. From the Gospel of Matthew, we learn that Joseph was faithful to the law, and out of kindness to Mary, not wanting to publicly disgrace her, was going to divorce her quietly. So this being said, the second part of their marriage had not yet occurred. Now let's talk about Mary socially. Mary, by hiding away at Elizabeth's, is able to avoid the social outcasting. Maybe, even with the help of the elder Elizabeth, come up with a plan on how to handle this pregnancy, how to unveil it to others. Mary is not pregnant by Joseph, the one she is betrothed. The repercussions for Mary to not be fully married to Joseph could have honestly cost her her life. Mary stays with Elizabeth for 3 months, which we learn in Luke chapter 1, verse 56. And I think this is important to today's gospel text to ponder and think about. Why 3 months? Well, many believe Luke was a physician, and the first 3 months of pregnancy can be quite vulnerable. And Luke, being a physician, would have understood the significance of this important time. The Cleveland Clinic tells us that 1/3 of all pregnancies in the first 3 months end in miscarriage. This is why many women choose not to tell anyone of their pregnancy until after the first trimester. Scripture doesn't tell us, but leaves us to wonder, when did Mary and Joseph finally have the divine pregnancy conversation? 3 months is also the average length of time for that dreaded morning sickness to hang around. Now, some of you may not understand morning sickness, but let me explain it to you this way. It's about like riding on a roller coaster for many of us. It's about not knowing what smell, what taste, what look, or sometimes just the mere presence of something that will set our stomachs a-churning and our senses on high alert. For those of you out there familiar with white-tailed deer, it's about like walking around with your tail perched up, the white showing, saying caution, caution, caution for the entire first months of your pregnancy. And for some of us, the whole pregnancy. Yet, I think there is also a very important lesson to be learned here. By being in Elizabeth's presence, who is the elder relative to Mary, there is a bit of intergenerational bonding taking place. There is a sort of nurturing happening by both women. Mary is certainly taking and receiving pregnancy advice from Elizabeth, but at the same time, Elizabeth is recognizing and honoring Mary. At the beginning of our gospel passage, Mary greets Elizabeth in what today we can only imagine what might have been a, "Hi, Elizabeth." I mean, after all, there were no phones or text messages being sent ahead of time to let Elizabeth know Mary was coming. And we are reminded once again that Mary left right away after the conversation with the angel Gabriel. So Mary shows up, greets Elizabeth, and then the rest of our gospel passage is Elizabeth and the future baby, John the Baptist, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and Elizabeth stating that Mary is the mother of our Lord. Elizabeth even blesses Mary. "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Blessed are you who believes that there would be a fulfillment of what has been spoken to her by the Lord." Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? The elder Elizabeth, fully 6 months pregnant, blessing her younger relative Mary, exclaiming and affirming to Mary that, "Hey Mary, what you just heard, what you were just told through the angel of the Lord, you really are pregnant. This is for real. This is happening." I mean, seriously, can you think about the day Mary is having? This is huge news, and frankly, a lot for Mary to digest. And verse 38, Mary says, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Well, Mary, Elizabeth just affirmed your conversation with Gabriel. Elizabeth is your first response. You are pregnant before you yourself even feel it. I also cannot speak about this gospel without speaking about Mary's song. For us in today's worship, we used this as the psalm, but is really not a psalm. Rather, it is a continuation of the Gospel of Luke. Our gospel text ends with verse 45, and this picks up right away at verse 46. Mary's song, so full of love and praise and glory to the Lord, takes up the next 10 verses of Scripture. What I find interesting here is that now Elizabeth is silent. Elizabeth no longer speaks. And I think another lesson can be learned here. I think Elizabeth models a way forward between the older generation and the younger generation. Because our lives and our future, they depend on the younger generation to have a voice. Mary's voice is the beginning of the turning upside down of the world. Mary is empowered to speak on behalf of the entire human family. The powerless will become the powerful. Martin Luther's commentary on the Magnificat states that Mary's song is the expression of Mary's whole being, spirit, life, breath. Martin Luther teaches us to view the human as a whole, to not break apart and separate body from mind, totus homo. When Mary says, "My soul magnifies and my spirit rejoices," Martin Luther comments that Mary's entire being is being caught up in bringing down the proud and lifting up the lowly. As Lutherans, we must also remember that Mary's song is ongoing. It is still being sung in churches and on the streets. Mary's song allows the oppressed voices of those searching for justice, for peace, and equity to be heard. It is through Mary's song that we are reminded of the power of words to create and diminish. The young Mary seeks out the elder Elizabeth, showing up and greeting her. The women are connected as both to bring new life, blessed life, into the world. Elizabeth the elder prioritizes Mary's needs. Elizabeth shows a preferential option for the younger Mary's voice. And Elizabeth, the wise elder, sits and shares life with Mary, the youthful wanderer. Moving toward Christmas Day at the end of this week, among the hustle and the bustle of this time, how does Elizabeth and Mary's story speak to you? Are you a wise elder? Able to let the voice of the younger people around you be accepted and proclaimed? How are you going to bless those who seek your guidance, those who seek your love, your compassion, and for some of you, the sanctity of your home? How will you bless them? John the Baptist leaps for joy in Elizabeth's womb. I pray that the power of the Spirit leaps for joy within you as we move closer and closer, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, to the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Happy fourth Sunday of Advent. Amen.